I'm going to let Carlos just share a few things here. Carlos and I have met for, we figured out the other day, probably about 7 years.
Yes.
And so that's a long time. And we've seen God do some really miraculous things in your life. And God has done some tremendous things for you and some tremendous things in you. And I just wanted to start off and just ask you, how does it feel to have experienced God the way you have in your life over the last 7 years?
Well, it's been a uphill, downhill battle.
Can you guys hear him good? All right.
Okay.
Don't be nervous.
I love you. But it's been an uphill, downhill kind of situation for us, me growing in Christ, and it's been rewarding here at the end for me.
It's been a big struggle.
Yes, yes, it has.
And what I'm really asking is, don't be nervous, but what I'm really asking is, how does it feel in your heart to know the Lord like you have come to do?
It's, I try to explain it as if you put a hose in your mouth and you're like a breath, fresh air. It's very rewarding, and it comes at times where you don't even, I mean, you're not even thinking about nothing. You're not stressed about nothing. It's just a joy that you feel within yourself.
I'm going to ask a few questions of Carlos, and we're going to go through a story a little bit. And as it does, I'm going to let him relax and settle down a little. Can you tell he's a little nervous? Because if you know Carlos, he's always got this smile on his face. He's always laughing, and right now it's like, okay. But I'm just going to share with you what it's like for me to meet with him. You know, Cindy is doing a real deep study on worship, and she's been looking a lot at what worship is. How do we worship? And how does God lead us into worship? And one of the verses that's really stuck with her is that we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And I come in on, what morning do we meet? Tuesday morning?
Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning. I come in on Wednesday morning. Well, I'm getting old, aren't I? And I sit down with Carlos, and the first thing it does is he's just, oh, I am so blessed. I am so thankful. I am not nervous at all. And so he's just telling me, you know, all the wonderful things, how grateful he is for what God has done and how great God has been in his life. And we just sit there in Cracker Barrel, and we worship.
Yes.
We're not singing songs.
No.
But we are just thanking God and praising God for what he has done.
Absolutely.
And your heart is one that has become filled with joy.
Yes, it has.
Yes. Now, when you're nervous, you don't show that quite as well, but but oh, that's, it's starting to come through. But what I wanted to start off there to the beginning is that you have come to whereas not only you, when we first met, you hoped God loved you.
Right. Absolutely.
You've come to know God loves you.
I know he loves me.
But you've also come to know you love him.
Right.
And you've come to experience a relationship where you feel that love both ways.
Absolutely.
And that's a great thing, isn't it?
It is.
Now, I'm going to take him back in some time for a few things. About 7 years ago, Carlos, you were brought up where your mom was a godly woman that planted a lot of seeds of respect to God in your life.
Yes.
And you have, as far as you know, you've always believed that God existed and that he was a good authority.
Yes.
But you didn't always live for God. You kind of struggled to live for yourself.
I lived for myself.
He lived for himself. As a matter of fact, you fought for a lot of stuff in your life.
I have.
And what would you say was the real motivating factor in your life 10 years ago?
To change?
No, the motivating life of what drove your life. What were you looking for? What were you trying to achieve?
I would say at the beginning of my life, I always desired to have what everybody else wants is money, because we grew up poor. And so my desire was make money, make money, make money, make money at any expense. And it's kind of like I worship the money versus worshiping what God has in store for me.
And you came, like you said, from a tough neighborhood. You grew up in the projects?
Yes.
And so to get what you needed and make sure someone else didn't take it away, you're pretty quick to
protect it. And
protect what you had.
Absolutely.
And it developed a real violent streak in you.
It did.
a lot of anger, a lot of drive, a lot of running over people, and a lot of looking to get whatever pleasures out of life that you think you needed, which included house, boat, all kinds of things.
Yes.
And so he built his life on that foundation of using the gifts and talents God gave him to get everything he could out of this world. And I don't know if you know it or not, but Carlos has been very successful. How many of you know who he is? How many of you don't even go in the grocery store without pushing a cart and saying, Carlos? You drive your car down. We were driving our car looking for this cabinet shop way out in the middle of nowhere that Carrie Williams found, because that's who she is. And we're driving out in the middle of, I mean, there's no place, nothing out there. And we look up and there's a billboard of Carlos. Now, he grew up in the projects, but you don't live in the projects.
No.
No. You grew up without having enough food to eat.
Right.
You eat out every night.
I do.
Because your cooking's not good enough.
No, you don't want to eat my cooking.
So you are enjoying the food you eat.
Yes.
And there's plenty of it.
Yes.
You wear the clothes you want to.
Yes.
You drive the car you want to.
Yes.
You've got a boat that you don't have time to drive.
Yes.
And I just kind of put that one in there, loosen them up a little bit. But Carlos has been very, very successful financially. Very, very successful. And I'm telling you, that didn't fall in your lap either, did it?
No.
You took it.
Yes.
And thanks. And you worked hard, and you were aggressive, and if someone got in your way, what happened?
There was consequences.
Well, he lived a lifestyle like that for years and years and years, and accumulated everything he really wanted out of life, but inside, everything was crumbling.
Absolutely.
And that foundation built on this world was starting to fall apart, and because of the seeds your mother had planted in your heart, you knew it was falling.
Yes.
And you knew you were at a point where there was no way you were going to be able to hold it together.
Yes.
And so, when you saw that going, where did you think to go?
To Christ.
You wanted to go to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so you decided you were going to start coming to a church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so God just orchestrated it that this happened to be the church that you came to.
Yes.
Which would not exactly be the one you might have just picked out of the hat, but God kind of steered you here.
Yes, he did.
And so when you came here, you were coming because you knew your life was falling apart, and that there was no answer to it other than Christ, and you knew the way to find him was to come to the church.
Right.
Where Christ's people
worship
were.
People, right.
And so you and I, somehow, we kind of got together, and the first real conversation we had, was it in a Wendy's or a Hardee's?
Homies,
it was in a Hardee's, okay? It was in a Hardee's, not too far down the street there. And we sat down, and Carlos had just had a major crisis in his life that was going to have some major consequences, and it was a very, very difficult problem. And he walked in, and can you remember what you said to me?
I said so much that day. I was so upset. And
well, it came a point in there when he laid everything out, and then he said, whatever. Do you remember what you said?
Whatever God wants me to do.
Yeah, well, you didn't say it that way. You said, whatever you tell me to do,
I'll do it.
As right. a matter of fact, he used to say that a lot. He doesn't say it anymore.
Right.
But he used to say that all the time. We would sit down and he would say, hey, here's what's going on. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. Now, he didn't really mean whatever I tell him to do, he'll do. But what he was saying is this: I don't have a relationship with Christ. I know the only person who can help me navigate out of this is Christ. And I will do whatever he says, but I have no idea what he's saying because I don't have a relationship with him. I think you have a relationship with him. So you tell me what God says to do in this situation, and I'll do it.
Right. I was depending on God to speak through you to tell me.
He was depending on God to speak through me. Unfortunately, I am not his high priest. Jesus Christ is our high priest. So how did I answer that question?
This was scripture.
I pointed him to scripture. Did I ever tell you what you should do?
No.
I never gave him the answer on that. What we said is, let's open up the Bible, let's take a look at what God says. You tell me what you think God is telling you to do, because you can hear the Holy Spirit and you can obey him.
Right.
And he meant what he said when he came in there. when he came in, he said, whatever you tell me to do, and what he meant is whatever God tells me to do, I'm going to what?
Do it.
And you were at the end of your rope. You weren't at the place where everything had completely fallen, but you saw it falling.
It was crumbling.
And you were going to do whatever God said. You were through doing it your own way.
Yes.
Now, when that really occurred, I would kind of describe you as being imprisoned by your sin. Is that kind of what you would say?
Oh, yeah. I beat myself up all the time, you know, about when you sin, you just beat yourself up. And I did, because it's kind of like every time that I thought I was fixing something, it come back around and it was messed up again, because ultimately I wasn't doing what God was wanting me to do.
And you started to see that when you were not doing what God wanted to do, no matter what you did, you still ended up coming back and being trapped. You were trapped. That's you felt emotionally trapped.
I was.
You were physically trapped.
I was.
In that 7-year period, we went through some times where circumstances almost stripped you of everything you had.
Several times.
Mm-hmm. And you laid that at God's feet, not looking for God to change the circumstances, but asking God how he wanted you to respond, what he wanted you to do, how he wanted you to live, and you left that in God's hands. Whatever happened, you were going to follow him.
Absolutely.
And God did some miraculous things.
He brought me, he's a blessing. I mean, he truly, truly, when you think there's no answer, he has the answer. When you think there's nothing else you can do, you tire, you throw your hands up, He was there.
And the biggest thing that he did wasn't in circumstances around you. The biggest thing that he did was
within me.
Within you.
Right.
Yeah, it was within you.
Right.
Because when I first met you, you were a person in turmoil. You were a person who felt hopeless. You were a person who felt overwhelmed. You were a person who was easily angered. Because of the frustration, you were a person who didn't know how to cope with life. How do you feel now?
I mean, it's amazing to me that now that I got Christ in my life and my heart, that, I mean, I'm normal just like anybody else. But when it comes to a stressful situation or a situation where normally I would react in anger or whatever, it's amazing to me to where God steps in and intervenes. We all going to be, tempted by sin and other things, but I can honestly tell you, I've been tempted over and over and over again, and God's shown up.
And the answer a lot of times is within you, because sometimes the circumstances don't change, but he changes you.
Right, he changes me, right.
And what's really interesting in it is that what you want out of life right now is to be close to Christ.
Right. I want to please him.
You want to please him.
I want to be a disciple for him.
And nothing else really matters.
Nothing else matters.
And that was something as you were growing up that you didn't understand that that's what it meant to have a relationship with Christ.
No, I didn't have
one. You told me a story Saturday. And in that story, you saw that attitude being developed in your son.
Yes.
You want to share that story with us?
What a Kleenex.
Or can you do it?
But no, I'll tell what Bill's talking about is I've been praying, and like I said, God has really, I mean, we can sit here and talk forever for us to have the different situations I've been in, and God has shown up and shown me his grace and mercy. But I've been praying for my kids every single day, just like I'm sure y'all do. But just to see that God, I sowed a seed in my son that at 11 years old, he gets on his knees and he's praying for something that he dearly wants, and for him to recognize that God is real and he is the answer, and that he can go to him at such a young age, where when I was his age, I didn't get out and pray. I mean, when I was hungry, I go ahead and try to steal something from somebody, get something to eat, or, you know what I mean? But he went to his knees and prayed, and just for me to be able to sow a seed in my sons like that, it was just truly, truly a blessing to me, and for him to turn to God at a young age.
And the motivation of the things you want are different now.
Right.
You're not worried about getting things for him. You want him to recognize that God is in control, and that when he submits himself to God and follows and relies on God, that God will take care of him.
He does.
And you see that happening in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful thing. Well, God has done a lot of wonderful things in your life, and the greatest is that he has given you great peace.
Yes.
He has given you faith where you're not afraid.
Not afraid.
He has given you joy even when the IRS shows up.
Yes, that's big. It was a month, and the IRS showed up, and I was stressed, and they was with me for a whole week, and I can honestly say within 24 hours, I wasn't stressed no more. God had gave me peace within 24 hours.
It's the peace that passes understanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really what I wanted to do. I just wanted you to see what I get to see every week, and I get to see it all the time. And that's one of the things that I wish that I could trade places with you guys. Although up until 5 years ago or so, I was where you're at, where I've got full-time jobs, I've got all kinds of things going, and I'm seeing little pieces of it. Now, this is what I see every day. This is what I see. I see these things happening in your lives. I see how your relationships with God are just exploding, and I want you to have the opportunity just to see some of that right there. So let's just pray for a second. Father, I thank you for Carlos. And I'm grateful, Lord, that as he stands right here, he's not the man that I knew 8 years ago. When I first met him and he walked into my life, to see how Christ-like you have made his heart. Not that you've made him perfect, but you have made him a person whose heart is soft and desires the things that you desire. You've loosened his grip on the world and you've tightened his grip on eternity. And I thank you for the miracles that you've done in his life and the joy that that brings us. You are wonderful, and we praise your holy name, and we are in awe of the things that no one can do but you. And we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.